Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, I'm Bob Davis, and we welcome you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online, so if there's something you'd like to talk about or a Bible question we can answer for you, we invite your call now to 844-322-2742. That number's good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Here's, I think, a very bleak passage out of the book of Psalms. It says this: redemption, and that's our theme this month, redemption and freedom. Redemption does not come so easily, for no one can ever pay enough to live forever and never see the grave. No one has enough money to reverse course on sin and death. That takes the power of God, and it takes a price more than silver and gold. And that's what Peter is talking about in his first letter. I think he probably was remembering this passage out of the book of Psalms when he wrote in his first chapter of his first letter, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver and gold that you were redeemed." There is no price that we can pay for our redemption. Silver is enough. Gold is not enough. Platinum is not enough. Whatever is the most valuable substance in the world, it's not valuable enough as far as our redemption is concerned. But we weren't redeemed by such a cost as silver and gold from this empty way of life that was handed down to us from our ancestors, but we were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. That was the price. That was the only price that could be paid to redeem us from that empty way of life that was handed down to us by our forefathers. So all of us inherited an empty way of life. And no matter how much we invested in trying to improve that empty way of life, it was still empty. We just couldn't inflate it. We just couldn't bring meaning and purpose to it. We just couldn't put substance into it. It was empty at every single turn. But that's what we've been redeemed from. We've been set free from that empty way of life so that we could experience substance, real life, real purpose, real meaning through faith in Jesus Christ. So today's question on Basic Gospel is simply this: in what ways did you find your old way of life empty? For me, it was a lack of meaning and purpose. I mean, I had just the best life anybody could draw up. I had a great family, a wonderful mother, a wonderful father. I was raised in a great little town, Marietta, Georgia. I went to the University of Georgia. I just had everything that a person could possibly ask for. And yet, my senior year in college, it was all meaningless to me. It was totally empty. My mom and dad loved me, but that wasn't enough to fill that emptiness inside of me. I was on a course to go to med school, but that wasn't enough to bring meaning and purpose to my life. And so in those pursuits, I just saw emptiness. And that's what eventually led me to Christ, to really come to know what he was all about. I knew I needed him, and I had actually received him. But at this point in my life, it was trying to figure out what his life was all about and what it really meant to be a child of God. And that's where meaning and purpose really started to hit my heart. So that old empty way of life for me was a life that was void, absent of meaning and purpose. How about you? In what ways did you find your old life empty? Let's talk about it today on Basic Gospel.
You can do that right now at 844-322-2742. The lines are pretty much wide open, and that number is good in the U.S. and in Canada, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk to Chris, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Chris. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi, guys. This week I heard something which I found impactful. Someone said, "The way to overcome sin is not to figure it out, but to keep your eyes on Jesus." And that is what Hebrews 12:1-2 seems to say. When he said that, I realized I don't believe it. I'd rather try and figure it out and see why it's there and get rid of it that way. So I wanted to get your thoughts on what is it about keeping our eyes on Jesus that allows us to overcome sin?
Well, that's a great question, Chris. And I think that ties to the passage that we quote often here on Basic Gospel, and that's Titus 2. It's the grace of God that teaches us to say no to sin and to live righteous, upright lives in this present generation as we wait for the blessed hope of Jesus Christ, of his return. So the grace of God, it is a by grace through faith in Jesus proposition. That's the life that we live. So faith is what moves our eyes away from the things of this world to the person and work of Jesus. So that's what it really means to keep your eyes on Christ. It means to walk by faith in who he is living in and through you. So his life, his power, his righteousness starts to purge out all that uncleanness in our thoughts and kind of the temptations that are coming our way. It just overpowers those things so that we're in essence saying no to sin and yes to Jesus. So it's a by grace through faith in Jesus life that we are to live. And keeping your eyes on Christ is that faith aspect as far as we are concerned. So I think it's keeping our eyes on his great love for us, the fact that nothing can separate us from the love of God. It's keeping our eyes and our mind engaged in the fact that he's alive, living inside of us, keeping our minds and our eyes focused on kind of the purpose that he has for us. And as we do, we're going to find ourselves not fulfilling the desires of the flesh, not giving in to those temptations that come our way. Does that make sense to you, Chris?
Another thing that the person said, which I think is kind of interesting, I'd like to hear some more about what you think about it, is he said that when you turn to sin, you believe that it can do something for you that Jesus can't. You believe that it can fulfill some sort of desire for you that Jesus can't. What do you think about that?
Well, I think when we turn to sin, we're really probably not thinking too much about what Jesus can or can't give to us. We just get so caught up in the sin that's all we see, and so we go after it, thinking that, boy, this is going to be fun, this is going to be pleasurable, this is going to be, whatever. So I don't know if in our minds, we're giving much thought to it, other than there's that carrot in front of us and it sure looks good. I'm gonna go after it, and then when we come to the end of that and realize that, boy, that didn't deliver on what it was promising, and that was just empty, and that's our subject today, that empty way of life, and that's what sin is. It's just empty. It's just void of any real life at all. As a matter of fact, it's death to us. So when we get to that point and realize the emptiness of it, then we start thinking, gosh, what was I trying to gain through that sin that I couldn't gain in Christ? But I think when it's just right there, we're not given much thought at all.
Which is the whole point of keeping our eyes on Jesus. Now, let me try a homely example. I started taking piano lessons back when I was like 6 or 7 years old, and I was blessed to have teachers who never spent any time on the things I was doing wrong. They always worked with me on how to play it correctly. A scale or a chord or whatever else, because as one of the teachers told me, every time you play something wrong, it takes 3 to 5 times of playing it right to forget how it was you played it wrong. And if we focus on the wrong stuff, if we focus on the sin or on where the pleasure is coming from, it only makes it worse. But when we're focused on Jesus, he is like that incredibly brilliant piano teacher who tells us how to do it right every time, regardless of whether we get it right every time. He's always telling us how to do it right, trusting him, listening to the Spirit, letting our mind be renewed. And you know, that's the only way I can think of that, that makes sense, because otherwise I'm always focused on what I did wrong.
Yeah, it's a lot easier to stay focused on that. Actually, what's interesting is after this person had said the way you overcome sin is to keep your eyes on Jesus, not to figure out the sin, I remember that Richard, you had actually said the same thing not too long ago. So that was kind of interesting. Well, guys, thank you so much for your ministry. Thanks for making yourselves available every day to talk about the good news of Jesus. I appreciate it. You guys have a great rest of your day.
Thanks, Chris.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Always good to hear from you, my friend. Great question.
Yeah. 844-322-2742. We'd love for you to join the conversation right now at Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we want to welcome you at 844-322-2742. You know, guys, the recent tragic events in Dallas, Orlando, and elsewhere, they're stark reminders that we never, ever know what's coming. They're vivid reminders that we are in a battle for the hearts, souls, and the eternal spirits of people. People no matter the background. People who are deeply loved by God. People for whom Jesus died and suffered and died. People for whom Romans 10 is very much alive and saying, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It also poses some questions. How can they hear without someone preaching it to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? Well, at Basic Gospel, we don't have any doubt that we have been sent to teach and preach this gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. This is the gospel, of course, that saves. And this is what you hear without fail on every broadcast of Basic Gospel. It's what you're supporting with your dollars and with your prayers. And we ask you to keep on supporting. Click donate at basicgospel.net. Any page has that particular donate link, and we'd love for you to activate one today. Help bring life to those who will hear. Again, that's at basicgospel.net.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Perry. Well, we're going to wait. She's still trying to get his information on the line.
Yeah, so. Here's a question that came in by email from Lisa, and it's interesting that she listens and posed the question on the Basic Gospel app. And if you haven't downloaded it yet, we encourage you to do that, because it's one more wonderful way to stay connected with Basic Gospel and everything that's going on within the ministry. Anyway, Lisa says, I love your program. I also very strongly believe in the truth that you're teaching. But I have a question, she says. In Romans 11:17, it talks about branches being broken off. How did they get on the tree in the first place? And how do I know when I'm on there and that I won't get broken off? I know that nobody will take me from God's hands. Can you please explain?
Well, that's a great question, and it's in, I think, one of the hardest, most difficult passages to understand in the Word of God, and that's Romans chapters 9, 10, and 11. These are the fertile soil for predestination. That's where most of what's out there theologically on predestination comes from. These three chapters, along with Ephesians chapters 1 through 3 and a couple of other passages. But I think we need to make note of the context. Paul is talking about Jews and Gentiles. So he starts out this section with that incredible heart response toward his Jewish brothers, that he would give up his salvation if it meant their salvation. Talk about a love for a people. That was a love for his own people. He saw in Jesus the way, the truth, and the life. He saw in Jesus everything that he was looking for out of Judaism, a gift given to him by grace through faith. And when that life hit his heart, he wanted desperately for his Jewish brothers to experience that same life. And so that was his heart as he begins this section in Romans chapter 9. But he goes on to say that their hardness, the hardness of heart of the Jewish people, not individuals, he's not talking about individuals, he's talking about the rejection of Christ corporately by the nation of Israel, the rejection of Christ as Israel's Messiah. He's saying that rejection opened the door for the good news to go out to the Gentiles. So it's these Gentiles corporately that were grafted in. So it's not talking about us individually. It's not saying that, you know, Bob, you were grafted in, and boy, if you don't mind your P's and Q's,
I'm going to graft you.
Yes, that's right. going to bring out that saw and just cut you right off and just throw you in the heap so that you can be burned. That's not what he's talking about at all. He's saying, Gentiles, don't get cocky. Don't think that you're special because you've now been grafted in. God could cut you off at any time. Gentiles, corporately. Mm-hmm. So he's just using that to, I think, bring humility to all of us, that any person who is saved, any group that is saved, it's because the mercy of God has reached out and saved that particular group. And that's what happened with the Gentiles. And so he's saying in the big plan of things that eventually this gospel message is going to circle back to the nation of Israel at large. And they will recognize their need for mercy. And just as the Gentiles receive mercy, the Jews are going to receive mercy. And as it says in Romans 11:26, all Israel will be saved. Mm-hmm. That's the good news. That's the miracle. That's the brilliance of this plan of God.
Yeah.
And so when he's saying that you could be cut off, he's talking to Gentiles as a whole, as a group, not individuals.
Yeah.
And that is so important for us to know.
Absolutely. Lisa, hope you're listening. Hope that's a help to you. Hope you will keep listening and let us know if you have another question. Guys, a great, great, wonderful trip coming up this February with the ministry. Speaking of Israel, we're going to talk about it right now.
Israel. When you walk the same ground as the patriarchs Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, something indescribable happens. When you stand where King David, the prophet Elijah, and the apostle Paul stood, something unspeakable takes place. Israel. You'll experience the Garden of Gethsemane and visit the house of Caiaphas. You'll walk the Via Dolorosa, the footsteps of Jesus, to Golgotha, the place of the cross, the place of the skull. You'll visit the Garden Tomb, the burial place of Jesus, and the place of his resurrection. When you see, touch, and smell the locations where the Lord Jesus himself lived, ministered, and prayed, you'll realize that no other place on earth can deliver such an experience. No other investment one can make offers so much in return. Israel, February 2017, with Basic Gospel. Click events at basicgospel.net for all information.
Well, the deadline for that is coming up soon to reserve your spot, August 1st. So if you're sitting on the fence, it's time to get off the fence.
Get off that fence.
And I hope you'll get off the fence on the side of going, because this really is a trip of a lifetime. The Word of God just comes to life as you walk those places where Jesus walked, where you see where your redemption actually was purchased through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, where that precious blood of Jesus was shed once and for all so that you could be set free from that empty way of life and have true life in Christ. So come join us February 7th through the 18th next year, 2017. All the information on how to register, how to reserve your spot is available to you at basicgospel.net/events.
Yes, basicgospel.net, that's the events tab.
Let's go out to Springfield, Oregon, and talk with Perry. Hi, Perry. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Hi, guys. Thank you for your ministry. I was pretty lost, and God gave me a scripture that Romans 8:15, where I heard God speak to my spirit. And he said that he hadn't given me a spirit of fear, but the spirit of adoption, where I cried, Abba, Father. I was going under at that time, and that just really freed me. And I looked to the Lord to teach me who I am in him, and your ministry is really helping me. Up until that time, most of the talk I had heard in church was about the bad people and how not to be like them. And every time I looked at myself in a nightly inventory, I was that person they were talking about. So I didn't really have a lot of hope. But I thank you that you're teaching people who they are and what they have in Christ.
Well, thank you, Perry. Yeah, and I'm so grateful and so glad and happy for you that you've really come to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You know, one of my favorite passages is 1 John chapter 3, when it says, you know, see how much God really loves us, that we should be called children of God, and that's what we are. That's what His love has made us. We were out there floating, trying to find out that answer to the question, who am I and why am I here and where am I going? And those questions get answered in the gospel of Jesus Christ. We finally find out who we are, a child of God, and the Spirit of God really makes that known to us. And that that wipes away all that fear. That just casts it away so that we can stand before God with confidence and assurance as if we're standing on a solid rock, unshakable, unmovable. And Perry, God bless you for having your eyes on Christ and for standing firm in that truth that you are a child of God. And Richard has some great insight onto that word adoption. You know, back in Roman times when somebody was adopted, that was a forever thing, wasn't
it,
Richard?
Yeah, it was a very big deal. They usually adopted adults, not children. And you adopted someone because you needed an heir. And when you adopted someone, they literally ceased to exist as the son of their previous parents. I mean, that bond was forever broken. The name was forever broken. The brand new identity was so vitally important that they, it was almost as if they had died and been raised to life again as someone completely different. Well, that's exactly what's happened to us. We died. You know, that's the picture of baptism. We're buried with Christ. Sin is washed away. We're raised to the newness of life. And we are a brand new person with a brand new name. And we can never go back to that other name. I'm glad you brought up that old nightly inventory. I used to do that. I don't do that anymore. I don't need to, because I finally know who I am. And that doesn't mean I'm perfect. I make mistakes. But I don't need an inventory to list those mistakes and then to beg God to forgive me for those. I thank Him every day for what He's done for me, because He has adopted me, just like you said.
Amen.
Well, Perry,
thank you, guys.
Well, thank you. I mean, your call is so encouraging. It just, like I said, it just puts a happiness in the heart to know that somebody is walking in truth, who is really rejoicing in who they are in Christ Jesus. That's the power of the gospel message. And thanks for picking up that phone and calling today. Yeah. We sure appreciate it.
Absolutely.
God bless you, brothers.
Hey, you too, Perry. You keep listening and call anytime. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, it's these calls that really, really underscore the need for our listeners to get in the bridle with us, and is that the right word? Get in the saddle with us and support this.
That's exactly right. I mean, you know, freedom is the cry of every human heart, and here at Basic Gospel, we're fighting for the freedom of people just like Perry and others around the world who were in bondage.
Yes.
You know, bondage to worldly identities. In bondage to fear, in bondage to guilt, in bondage to shame. It's the gospel that releases people from those chains and ushers them into freedom. So at Basic Gospel, we fight for the freedom of those, just like Perry, and rejoice when they stand in that freedom and walk in that freedom. And we want you to join us in that fight as well. And we have a wonderful resource for you this month. It's called Freedom Fighters. It is a wonderful resource to help you walk in the freedom that you have in Christ Jesus. It's a wonderful resource to help others that you can reach out to really understand what freedom in Christ is all about. So we want to put this in your hands. Bob, you've got all the information on how folks can request that.
For your gift of $20 or more to Basic Gospel this month, we're going to send you the Freedom Fighters, and we'd love for you to have a copy, as Bob said. All you need to do is call 844-412-2742. Speak with our operator. You can do that right now, 844-412-2742. We'd love for you to join us in supporting this ministry called Basic Gospel. Well, thanks again for being with us for Basic Gospel today, everybody. Now, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to be with us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.